A very good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Advent all-age worship.
Waiting. The action of staying where one is. Time passing. Expecting something to happen. Until one day, it does. Advent is a time of waiting, of hope, of anticipation. God tells us in Galatians that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Advent is the church in waiting, the church's yearly reminder each December of what Christians worldwide anticipate in the days before Christmas. We wait for Christmas as Israel waited centuries for a Savior, for God to fulfill His covenant. They waited for a virgin son to Abraham's line, a descendant of Isaac, Jacob, and David, for a branch from the rod of Jesse, for a baby born in Bethlehem, called Emmanuel. For generations, God's people waited for the fulfillment of countless Old Testament prophecies of a Savior who would light this world brighter than any Magi star. Jesus was the long-awaited hope to a dark and sinful world. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. As Christians wait for the light of Christmas, the four Advent candles are lit with each week's passing, and blue decorates the altar to receive our King with hope. But we know that our hoping and waiting doesn't stop at Christmas, because He's coming back on the last day, a second Advent. So as we hope for Christmas, we continue to wait and pray for our Savior to come again.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, and it's verses 2 to 6. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it was written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. I've got something to tell you which is a bit of a secret. So we've got a special, very, very special guest coming. Very special guest. And I can't tell you who they are, but I wonder if you can work out. Okay, I've got some clues. Here's the first clue about this person. They learnt to drive in an army Land Rover. Don't all shout at once. Okay, second clue, they also are fans of photography. They enjoy taking photographs, or usually they're more often photographed, but actually they like taking photographs. So Army Land Rover, learning to drive, photography. Any clues? Shout them out. Third clue, you'll get it on the third one, I think. Their pet animal is a corgi. It indeed, yes, shh, don't tell anyone. I think the Queen's going to come and visit. Okay? You laugh now. When she comes in that door. Anyway, if the Queen is going to come and visit, I think we've got to get ourselves ready. Frankly, I think if she's going to come in this morning, there are one or two things we've got to do to get ready. Do you have any suggestions of what we ought to do to get ourselves ready for the Queen? Pardon? Red carpet. There's a thought. We need to get rid of this rotten old grey one, this brown one. We need a red carpet.
Put your best clothes on.
Best clothes on. Well, frankly, you've got your best clothes on this morning, Tony, which is lovely to see. I haven't, and I haven't got time to go home. But I've got three suggestions, which I think we can all get away with. Here's the first one. I think the first one, we just need a bit of a tidy up, and that means each other. So would you just check each other that you're looking neat and tidy? Band, can you tidy up your musical instruments, please, and your music? Second thing, actually, has anybody here ever met the Queen? Have you? When did you meet the Queen? Fantastic. Did you get a chance to actually speak to her? Didn't say anything. I was looking this up, just in case it happens. I was looking this up. Do you know how you're meant to refer to the Queen? I'll come back to the bowing. The bowing's good, I'll give you the bowing, yes. But what you say to the Queen? Well, you do, but you start, your first thing you say is Your Majesty. So the first conversation you have is you say, Your Majesty. And if the conversation carries on, then you go to Mom. Okay, so we can practice this. So pretend I'm Queen. So I go, oh, hello. Have you come far today?
Yes,
see, there we are. And I think the third thing, we had the suggestion of bowing. Apparently, when you're meeting the Queen, that's over the top. Save that for pantomime. All you need to do is just gently nod your head. So if you'd like to just practice just nodding your head. Okay. I think we are all ready now. If she walks in that door, we can greet her. Oh, there's one other thing I forgot to say. Apparently, protocol is you have to stand in the presence of the Queen, the presence of the monarch. And I'm told that in Buckingham Palace, if she's in a room on her own, if she comes into a room where you're maybe just watching television, you are expected to stand. It's symbolic of the Queen always being on duty. The monarch is always on duty. So if she came in, we would have to stand, we would bow, yes, Your Majesty, ma'am, and so on and so forth. Getting ready for the Queen's a bit of work. And we only spent 3 minutes thinking about it. Imagine if you had 6 months. Oh, hang on. Just had a text, she can't make it, I'm sorry. That's a shame. In our Bible reading this morning, there was somebody else making preparations, not nearly as attractive as the Queen. It was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's role was he was out in the wilderness, out in the desert, and he was proclaiming the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the one who the people had been waiting for. And again, there was a preparation required, a getting ready needed. Let's have a look at what some of the words that needed to be done. If we read the Bible passage, this is really quite a preparation if you think about it. This is not just straightening your tie. Get the road ready for the Lord, make a straight path for him, fill up every valley, let's not skim over that, and level every mountain. I think if we bring the two jobs together, we can do that. We'll skim off the mountains and we'll fill up every valley and hill. Straighten the crooked paths, smooth out the rough roads. This is not just a general just tidying up. This is a huge getting ready for the chosen one. And then when we got to a little bit more detail, we saw these things. Turn back to God and be baptized. Then your sins will be forgiven. So there's a sort of three things to do here to get ready for the original Messiah. This is what John was saying. Turn back to God. What he was saying is, have your lives really been lived God's way, or have you gone astray and disappeared to do other things? Because actually what you need to do is you need to turn back so you're facing God, living God's world, God's way in his world. And the second thing, the second piece of advice after we've turned back is actually to do something about it. Be baptized was the term that John used. Taking people to the River Jordan, pouring water over them. Let the whole world know that you have turned and you have repented. Make sure it's clear to those people around you that you've changed. You can't get baptized in the Jordan on the quiet. It is a very public thing. And then the result of those two things, turning back to God, being baptized, then sins are forgiven. The relationship with God is made good. We're in the period of Advent. I don't know how you look at the moment as you face Christmas. Let's look in the mirror. Here's a mirror. Okay. I wonder what you're thinking about. Are you thinking about all those Christmassy things, all those trees and shopping and food and all that sort of stuff to get ready? But Advent time is a reminder to each of us. We've sung bits and pieces of this morning. Advent time is also about thinking about Christ's return, the second coming, the end of time. And we need to be ready for that. So all those things that John was saying still counts for us today. Our own personal preparation as we head into Advent. So let's go back and look at those things. Getting ready for the Queen, if we're getting ready for Jesus. Three final thoughts for you. The first one is rather than tidying up, just that process of reflecting. Reflecting on your life, reflecting on my life. What do we need to do to make sure that we truly repent? So that we're turning to God. We want to live his way. What do we need to do to ensure that? And the second thing, we looked at bowing, but actually it's about actions and words. It's about making public. The baptism was a public proclamation. How does the world around us know what we believe? Do we put it into our conversation? Do we put it into our actions? Is it clear to those around us that we have repented and that we have turned? And when we have repented and turned, and when it is in our actions, then in a sense we are reconciled to God. He welcomes us with open arms, and we're ready to face both Christmas and his coming whenever it comes.